HWR headquarters. This is a 341st edition of Houston Wrestling Radio. This is Abel.
This is Chris.
And thank you so much for tuning in today, guys. If you are watching us live, then log into your YouTube account. That way you can chat along with us on the little chatty thingy here. I'll have you pulled up on my old handy-dandy smartphone. And now we can
Smartphone.
And now we can actually see it on the laptop as well. So feel free to ask us questions, fact check us, talk shit, whatever.
Oh, all right.
Now, if you're not watching us live, I guess that rum had a little kick to it, huh?
Pineapple on pineapple. Yeah. Shit. All right. Indeed. I'm down. Yeah. I'm down with the sickness.
If you're not watching us live, that's okay. You can still interact with us on Facebook, facebook.com/Houston Wrestling Radio, or on Twitter at @HWrestlingRadio, or just drop a comment right down below.
Below where?
Below. Chris, how you doing, sir?
It's been a while.
Yep.
Yeah, man. I'm good.
Good.
Back to normal. I'm back to 105%.
Yeah.
Just in time for my week off.
Oh.
So, yeah, I'm ready.
Next week is your week off?
Yeah.
Okay, cool.
Yeah.
You planning on doing anything fun?
Going to California.
Hot dog.
I'll be leaving Tuesday. I'll be spending 2 days in Los Angeles. And then I'll be driving up the Pacific Coast Highway to San Francisco for 2 days.
Mm.
Culminating in the 20th anniversary show of the San Francisco Symphony Orchestra with Metallica. We're breaking in the new Chase Center where the Golden State Warriors are playing. I'm going to night one. So
nice.
So I got my vest, my tie, my shirt, my slacks, all back from the cleaners.
Yeah.
I'm ready, man.
You're gonna wear all that fancy shit out there?
It's a symphony, dude. Oh, look at me. Look where I'm from. Look at the class of person I am. Do I look like the person that's ever gonna go see a symphony? Willingly.
No.
Exactly. One in Rome.
God dang it.
We're waiting for the blessings to come in on the chat room since we actually started 2 minutes early this week.
Yeah.
Oh, we got that Monday Nitro start to get all the viewers.
Mm-hmm. Oh, that Portia's in there. She wants you to drink more booze.
Yeah.
She's the one who served that up.
Yeah.
Or did you serve yourself?
I made this myself, but she had the ingredients. I have coconut rum at home. She had pineapple. And she did. I used pineapple orange juice with a kick of cranberry. She had straight pineapple. So the pineapple 1-2. Like the menage,
yeah,
between my taste buds and two types of pineapple.
Is it tingly?
Oh yeah.
Mm-hmm. And I have my high quality H2O.
Eh, to each their own.
Refreshing.
One word. It's official.
Yeah.
The Wednesday Night Wars.
Yes.
NXT live on the Technicolor.
Yeah.
Starting in 2 weeks, 3 weeks, September 18th.
September 18th. My birthday.
3 weeks.
Yeah. Happy birthday to me.
I guess I know where we're going to be watching NXT on Wednesday.
Yeah, I guess we can watch it here. Yeah.
Yeah.
One word. Exciting.
Yeah.
It's exciting. I don't know if this is the Wednesday Night Wars, because I think we did this like a few years ago where it was Impact is going to go head-to-head to SmackDown
Monday.
or Raw or something. I don't even
that
remember.
One episode,
and it was like, it was basically that for, you know, a cup of coffee and that's it. And I'm like, yeah, okay, everybody lost interest. And NXT is really cool and AEW is really cool, but I don't know if it's going to be at the fever pitch that it was Nitro and Raw. And I think one thing about that is back then it was the technology of the day. Like, you literally had to flip back and forth between the two. You literally had to pick it and choose and decide what you want to do, you know? Do you want to watch Raw? Do you want to watch Nitro? You know, but now everybody has a fucking DVR. Mm-hmm. So I'm going to watch AEW. I'm going to watch NXT. Which one do I not want to get spoiled on? Which one do I want to be lazy and not get on the Facebook on? Like, okay, that's the biggest decision, you know. Mm-hmm. So I don't know. I mean, I'll watch both eventually. Maybe I'll watch one then the other and just stay off of social media. I mean, what's going to be first? I don't know. It depends on the week. Yeah.
This feels less like the Monday Night Wars and more it's more of like a civil war instead of a world war.
Oh,
you know, because 96, 97, 98, no disrespect to ECW, the only two options you had were WWF, WCW
right
on the same time slot. it was the same audience
right.
originally. And then guys like Goldberg, Steve Austin, The Rock started bringing in casuals.
Right.
NXT versus AEW is a niche audience.
Yeah.
AEW, they don't want to use the word casual fans as people that they're trying to bring in. NXT is not really known for its casualness. NXT is known for the
marks.
The next best kept secrets, the next big things, the next, mm-hmm. the next of the NXT. Right. So it's kind of going to be a civil war in between wrestling fans to see who's going to have the better product. Because I don't see any I don't see NXT and for, we love NXT takeovers. I don't see NXT at all bringing in casual fans. They're just trying to hold on to their audience, which is the audience that AEW is trying to pluck at.
I don't think I could see AEW pulling in casual fans.
They have a better chance because they have. Now NXT right now just has the young talent that they're young to the WWE world.
Yeah.
They've wrestled decades around the world, but
right.
unless you're in NXT or WWE, you're nothing.
Yeah.
AEW, at least for their part, they're bringing in guys like Jericho. They're bringing in guys like Moxley. Guys in the backstage like Arn Anderson, Dean Malenko, you know. Tony Schiavone signed a deal to do
yeah.
You know, so that's more of a thing that casual people that used to watch wrestling might recognize and hopefully jump to the AEW channel. For all the things that we gush about NXT, they haven't really pulled anything out of the hat that's going to bring in casual people.
Okay.
Now, if you tell me that on the first episode of NXT on USA, William Regal retires as general manager and the new general manager is Triple H.
Ooh.
Okay, now we got something.
Yeah.
But there isn't anything nostalgic on NXT to try to pull in that stray casual that used to be a fan that now watches UFC because UFC is real, guns and all this other stuff. You know?
Right.
So it's fun for the people that are in on the know, but for the people that don't understand the significance of what's going to be happening in the next couple of weeks, the next couple of months, they probably won't even give a rat's ass.
Yeah, I think I totally see what you mean as far as this being a civil war. I think it's a civil war among marks. And even then, most marks are going to watch it, everything.
Yeah.
You know, there's not going to be a whole lot of people who are like, fuck NXT, I'm only going to watch AEW. Fuck AEW, I'm only going to watch New Japan. But like, there's not a whole lot of folks that are like that. Back in the day, there were folks, I'm only watching WCW, I'm only watching WWF, and there was actual, like, rivalries between the fans. And then there was the straddle. The ones that would straddle the fence there. And yeah, you're right. It was when it was getting bigger, the casuals are the ones that swung the vote. You know, you had your staunch liberals and then your staunch Republicans. And then who wins the swing vote is the one that actually wins the fucking war. And that's kind of what's happening here. But yeah, you're right. This is more of a civil war. So it's just, and I don't even know if it's going to be as much of a war as it is good for all the fucking marks. Because hey, we get more content of stuff that we really like.
And you made the comment before on a previous episode about the whole Saudi thing. Doesn't matter where you're from. It doesn't matter what kind of wrestling you like. If you like wrestling, we like each other.
Right.
So it's not much of a war. It's more like a spoil of riches, basically.
Yeah.
That we're getting everything like on such big a stage to where it isn't hard to find it now because AEW's on TNT,
yeah.
a network that's on more cable boxes than USA. But
right.
that's not saying USA is a chump. USA's been established as wrestling for almost 30 years.
Right.
And they're going to have another program on their network. So the fact that it's easily accessible for us,
yeah,
you know, at the end of the day, they're having NXT, they're keeping NXT in full sale. They're keeping things the way they are, basically. They're just
yeah.
adding the second hour. How they're going to fill that second hour, I don't know. I've suggested more than once to just merge 205 with it.
Oh, yeah.
Because the 205 Live Cruiserweight Classic, that audience ate that shit up with a silver spoon. That's
yeah.
where it needs to be. And if you start touring the brand, you're going to be touring to that casual audience, not the casual audience. You'll be catering to that niche audience that will appreciate what they have in front of them, as opposed to ending a SmackDown taping with 205 Live.
Yeah.
And half the arena is already gone. Mm-hmm. When half the arena wasn't even there to begin with.
Right. Now, where the money will meet the road, and I don't know if this will actually happen, but maybe once or twice, is what happens if AEW and NXT are running a show in the same town on the same day, you know, or maybe even like, you know, a pay-per-view on the same weekend or something, not even the same towns. Okay, that's when you're really going to, you know, kind of divide your audience. But it may be in the best interest to not divide your audience. Go ahead and coexist. If me and you are watching both and NXT wants eyeballs and AEW wants eyeballs, both of those companies would rather have four eyeballs than to divide us and say, well, I only want Abel's eyeballs. I only want Chris's eyeballs. You only want two eyeballs? No, bitch. Whoa. What do you want all of us? So you want to, yeah.
At what point do you think that it becomes watered down?
Daniel, welcome. Thank you for joining us in the live chat.
Do you see, right now, we're at five pay-per-views a year for NXT. Five takeovers for NXT. How many is too many? 6, 8, 10, 12, 14?
For NXT?
Mm-hmm. 2 hours a week.
Seven is too much.
Seven
is too much.
So you want to cap it at six.
Six is good. Seven is too much. But you could say 12 WWE pay-per-views a year is too much. And what have they done? They bumped it up to like 13 or whatever.
14 at one point.
Yeah, they bumped it up. And what did we do? Who watched it?
You know? Most of it. With the occasional fast forwarding.
Yeah, but I mean, still, we watch it. And I think that's the hypocrisy of like all of this stuff as wrestling fans. We'll make these critiques and say, hey, this is too much. There's too much saturation. But at the end of the day, if it's must watch, it's must watch, and you're going to fucking watch it. Yeah. And that's the thing with what could happen between NXT, AEW, all this stuff with New Japan. If, you know, NWA is supposedly having a fucking TV deal, yep. You know? You know, TNA still has a TV deal. Like, if TNA was really super fucking good, which I know there's some people who are saying it's still good and it's on the upswing right now. It's all right.
It's all right.
It's all right. You know, it's not as bad as it was a few years ago, but it ain't as good as it was a decade ago.
Yeah.
Oh, fuck. A decade ago. Well, more than a decade ago now. It was fucking fire.
Yeah.
Now to watch it. Not because, I needed an alternative to WWE. No, because it was fucking good. If it's fucking good, I'm going to watch it. Mm-hmm. You know, and I don't care how much is out there.
Which on that aspect, thank you / fuck you, Travis.
Robert, welcome. Medlin.
Somewhere in the first season, Travis showed me an episode of WOW, Women's of Wrestling.
Oh, yeah.
I'm thinking, fuck, how am I going to squeeze this into my week?
Yeah.
It was good, man. Yeah. WOW was really good. They're actually taping season 2 episodes, not this week that I'm gone to California, the next week.
That's when Portia's going to California.
Yeah,
she's
going
to go.
Yeah.
She's going to go to those tapings.
And if it's good, we'll watch. If it's good, we'll find a way to get our hands on it.
Yeah.
You know? So it's going to be fun.
So let me catch up here on the live chat here. What's going on? Oh,
dear Lord, Chris is wearing a baby metal shirt. Fuck off, motherfucker.
Robert Midland says, I'm enjoying what I see from MLW.
Oh, yeah.
Yep. Daniel Price says, NWA signing Eli Drake was a brilliant move.
Yeah. So it's Eli. Right now, James Storm is the NWA North United States champion.
Okay.
Which is cool because the belt's shaped like America.
Yeah.
America's all cut out.
Have a little Florida dick.
No one likes you. So yeah, NWA, they're going to be taping too. They're like really pulling the pages of the old school book because they're going back to the same soundstage in Atlanta that they used to tape in the 70s and 80s. It's a small little public broadcasting place that they were used to tape back in the day, and that's where they're going back to. They're going back to the roots. So the episodes are they're taping September 31st and October 1st, and I think it's Sunday morning airings of NWA television. Okay. Where? Not sure yet, but they're ready to do the episodes. So, and then again, like since NWA, it's been so long. I mean, what can they bring back that can that hasn't already been trademarked or expired through WWE? I mean, they can't do Clash of the Starcade. Nah, WWE's been doing Starcade.
Yeah, WWE's been doing Starcade.
They're doing Starcade.
Anything that was a WCW copyright,
they'd have to start from scratch.
Yeah.
Moxley is out of All Out this Saturday.
That sucks. I mean, what else? What else can I mean? Between Moxley and Lamar Miller, I don't know.
I thought you'd be more upset that they're trying to trade away Clowney.
Oh, well, yeah. at this point,
at this point, go Cowboys, right?
Yeah.
No! Oh, I got you!
Cold day in hell.
Yeah, even if they get Zeke. Moxley, man. So they try to play it back. Mm-hmm. They found a replacement for Kenny, who was supposed to get his hands on Kenny before. We had the situation, the six-man tag. It was supposed to be Pac and the Lucha Bros.
Right.
Against the Elite. That didn't happen. So now, for circumstances that have changed, for whatever reason, Kenny Omega's fighting Pac.
Well, for whatever reason, Moxley's injured.
Yeah.
Right?
They could have had anybody else. Oh. Because I haven't kept up with Pac's life. But he was the Dragon Gate Championship, and he couldn't fight, I think it was Paige or Omega, because he was booked to lose and losing as a Dragon Champion.
That's what it was.
They didn't want that to happen. I don't know if he still has the belt now or if they worked something out to where we can have Pac against Omega one-on-one in this arena.
So. Are we officially right now previewing All Out?
We can.
Or I was going to say that to get to, because we're technically talking about Moxley right now, right?
Yeah, we're technically talking about Moxley.
Oh, okay.
MRSA on the elbow. It came back. So yeah. He already had the surgery to remove the sac from his elbow.
Yeah, fucking MRSA, man. What the fuck's going on with you? God damn, dude.
Yeah, man. You women are lucky. You only have like a weekend a month. I bleed every fucking day. Look at that, dude.
Dude, what the hell is wrong with you?
I pick scabs to make sure I'm alive. So Moxley's out. He had the MRSA, had the surgery. He'll be fine by week one of AEW on TNT.
Ah.
At the expense of, well, not technically the expense of, because the show sold out in 5 minutes.
Right.
They got your money, bitches. But All Out.
I mean, how much of that is really just only Moxley money? Come on now.
Yeah, if Moxley wasn't on this card, that shit would have still sold out in 4 minutes.
Anyway.
That was just a bonus.
Right. Okay, so Moxley being injured sucks, right? I hope they give him plenty of Z-Pax. but yeah, man, this is really bad timing for him, you know? But for me, I'm like, okay. Like, I'm not too upset about it okay, he's not here. Okay.
You're indifferent. You're not on or off the bye wagon. You're just there.
I'm like, okay. I know that there's the interestingness of what's going on with him being the defector, being the Lex Luger, leaving WWF, going to WCW right when, WCW Nitro's about to start.
He was the name.
Yeah, he's the, that guy.
Unless.
It has that.
But flavor. As of now, he's the name.
Right. He has that flavor right now. So it's like, oh, okay, cool. But now that it's not there, all right. Now, I'm going to save some of what I was going to say
for the
right
prediction.
Now. For the actual prediction of the thing.
All right.
Yeah. Daniel Price says, as a Skins fan, bite me, Chris. You're a Skins fan?
If you were really a fan of the Washington football team, you would not call them that. Number two, the fuck with the NFL. Boom.
Roughnecks, bitch.
Hell yeah. That shit already sold out on their website.
If you're living in Houston, You're a fan of the Dallas Cowboys or a fan of the Washington Redskins or a fan of something somewhere else.
Patriots.
Right? Whatever. If you're a fan of any other NFL team, okay, I kind of get it, but whatever. You're still a bitch, but I get it, all right? I understand, but you know what? There's always, like, history and, oh, I grew up in you know, Chicago. I grew up in here, so I'm a Bears fan, whatever. Okay, I get it.
Abusive family.
I get it, right? Right, that's why you like the Raiders, right? Yeah. You're a Busu family. Anyway.
Gruden's the best fit for you.
But if you live in Houston and been living in Houston for more than, I'd say,
22
years.
Two?
No, I'll cut that shit down.
Okay, 2 years.
If you've been in Houston at least 2 years, and you're not going to be a fan of the fucking Roughnecks, like, why the fuck not at this point?
Yeah.
Like, who else are you going to cheer for? I mean, I know there's, like, 5-6 other teams.
There's seven teams. My runner-up would be the Seattle Dragons, also known as
Trogdor
Burninator. Right.
But I mean, really, like, at this point, if you're living in fucking Houston and you're not a Texans fan, okay, I get it, because, you know, that could have been shit. But right now, you got a fresh fucking start, motherfucker.
Daniel Price, Raiders are my AFC team. Chris is forgiven.
Anyway.
Hector, what's up, man?
Hey, Hector.
Welcome. Better late than never.
Yes, yes, yes.
You just missed our football rant.
Trogdor. I want that Roughneck shirt. I do too.
Dude, the red one sold out.
Yeah.
But the blue one with the logo, the Derek, I want that.
And
bad.
I don't want to hear any of this bullshit that, oh, they ripped off the Oilers logo. Bitch, it's called playing homage. That's what it is. You uncultured swine.
And we're willing to forgive the Cowboys star on top of the Derek too. I'm not the only guy that caught that.
No, it's a Texas star.
Okay, star we'll let that go. Okay, we'll let that
go. The Cowboys stole the Texas star. That's what it is.
And it's kind of fitting that they call Dallas the Renegades, because they're all assholes in Dallas.
Yeah.
All of them.
All of them. Ah. Ugh. All right, is that enough about the XFL? Are we going to have a spin-off fucking show where we just talk about the XFL?
Dude, we're going to make this HWR network happen one fucking way or the other. We're bringing back Stoppage Time and Pop Culture, the whole Megillah.
Warren Moon is not amused.
But imagine, just to put a bow on it, if the Roughnecks land Andrew Luck.
Oh!
Do you cheer or do you boo? Do you cheer or do you boo?
I'll cheer.
The team.
I cheer the team.
You're boo.
I ain't gonna boo my man.
He could take hits from a fifth-string team that's getting paid $20,000.
He's gonna be okay. I mean, but I'm gonna be concerned, because that's a heel fucking CM Punk move that he just did. He walked out a fucking Royal Rumble right before WrestleMania season and chunked the deuce. But just like CM Punk, he had good reasoning too.
Yeah.
He had really good reasoning too. And if I was in the same position, I'd probably do the same fucking thing.
Yeah, if you're making brain cells, you get out.
The difference with Punk is that after all that shit happened, he turned into a crotchety asshole. So if Andrew Luck isn't a crotchety asshole, great.
Okay.
But in your hypothetical situation, if Andrew Luck shows up here, well, then that's an extra heel move, and I don't know how much I like that, because you're still playing football, motherfucker. Like,
Daniel Price, Ryan Lee for the win.
No, fuck Ryan Lee.
Robert Medlin, Tim Effin, Tebow.
Oh my God. Tebow will probably be the only guy I would boo if he played for the Roughnecks.
You're going to hail.
Oh, yeah, well.
Your match of the week pick.
I have no idea.
Goddamn, son. Throw a dart in the wall and see what sticks.
I had one. I just can't remember what it was. I think it was one of the King of the Ring matches, but I can't remember.
Can I help you?
Yes, please help me.
Here's my list of candidates for match of the week. We'll start with 2 weeks ago. Actually, let's take that back. I need to start from 3 weeks ago, because you and Arnold convinced me, assholes, that I didn't need to watch Roman Reigns against Buddy Murphy.
No, I saw that y'all did. That was a good match.
It was really good.
It was.
And the only thing that topped it was Murphy versus Bryan.
Was that this week?
That was last week.
That was last week. Okay, yeah.
Fuck me. Yeah. Murphy Bryan was good. And he won!
He won.
Every week since really he's good. Come, every week from the beginning that he's had that match with Roman, slowly but surely you hear the crowd chanting for Buddy. You hear the momentum for Buddy. Which, another match of the week candidate, Murphy versus Ali from yesterday, was a completely bad call. I didn't hear any – Travis pointed this out to me. I didn't hear anybody chanting for Ali. There's a shit ton of people starting to chant for Murphy. It's chanting, okay. This is awesome chants. It's cool that we got two baby faces with Buddy.
That's what I was going to say at the very beginning of the match. I mean, Buddy Murphy's still kind of technically a heel, but he's getting face reactions.
It's like when you get out of rehab and you walk by the bar for the first time and you know you're not supposed to go in there because
it's so gooey.
So he'll ease into sobriety. He'll ease into the face role. He's like, cold, I'm not used to people treating me so well.
Like that commercial, don't do it cold turkey, do it slow turkey. Oh, God.
Oh, man. NXT UK, Cassius Ohno against Ilya Dragunov.
Oh, yeah, hold on. I would say that for that week, and this is why I'm having trouble remembering, because I remember thinking that match, Brian versus Murphy, that would have been my match of the week pick, but we didn't have a show that week, and then here it is 2 weeks later. Okay, so that would have been my match of the week pick for that particular week. Now, since we're not doing shows every week anymore, I don't know exactly how we're going to do this, but... go ahead and throw off the rest of your list.
If we're going last week, as much as I like Brian versus Buddy, they had some strong competition. That fucking match on Raw between Samoa Joe and Cesaro.
That was good too, yeah.
Fuck! They were stiffing each other to the point where Joe deadlifted that suplex and Cesaro dropped him.
Yeah. That was rough.
That was rough.
That was a rough match.
And as much as a fan that I am of Joe, I also think it was the wrong call to have Cesaro lose. I think Joe, I've said this before and I've gotten praise and flack for it, was this generation's Ric Flair. You don't need to have him win. You don't need to have him any kind of weird titles. People cheer Joe. Even when he's a heel, people still chant Joe. People still cheer for Joe. People still want to watch him wrestle. People will still pay to watch him wrestle. He doesn't need the King of the Ring title.
Did you just say
this generation's Ric Flair?
Yes. This generation's Ric Flair, but the reasoning is because he doesn't need a title. Ric Flair was a fucking world champion more times than any other wrestler. Doesn't need a title.
By the time Ric Flair was in WCW, everyone beat him. Hogan, Savage, Goldberg, DDP, NWO, 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 NWO. People still chanted woo. Okay. People still got in front row. People still wanted the Horsemen. We've seen all the shit Joe's done in Ring of Honor and Impact. He's probably at the end of his career, if not his peak of his career. And right now, people still chant for him, even when you're supposed to boo him.
Yeah.
People still want to see him wrestle.
Yeah.
He still puts on great matches. He is what people wanted Bray Wyatt to be back in the day. But he kept losing and nobody cared. Joe keeps losing. People still want to see him. So in that aspect, I think Joe is Ric Flair. Now that I've detailed that.
Okay. I'm about to say, Ric Flair never needed a title to get over. Bitch, he had more titles than anybody else ever.
Contention. There was a 5-on-5 captain's challenge on 205 Live that pretty much encapsulated the whole episode. 50 minutes. Five on five.
Ooh.
That shit was fun. If I would have known, I would have saved that for Saturday morning with Fruit Loops. I felt like a kid watching that match. That match was fucking fun, dude.
Okay.
If you guys get a chance, go back and watch that. It's about 48 minutes, but it's fucking good. Dude, they put the fuck over on Angel Garza. He's in that match, and he's like, not to piss off more people, he's not there yet. He can be WWE's modified, watered down, whatever you want to call it. He can be WWE's MJF. As a heel, he was talking shit to fans while he was on the apron. He was talking shit to the wrestlers on the other end of the apron. He was smacking around talking shit to the wrestlers that he was beating the shit out of. He has the heel shtick down. And then the thing where he has the sweatpants and then he stops middle of move. He takes off the sweatpants. You see his trunks with his dad's name on it. You know, the initials.
Yeah,
Oh, dude. There's a lot of potential to Angel Garza. And I think he was the last guy eliminated in that 5-on-5. So it shows you what they think of him. And they told a good story with Lorcan being like the new babyface of the 205 Live roster. It was pretty fun. Channeling some Ultimate Warrior there.
Yeah.
It was good stuff. It was really good stuff.
I just remembered another match. And I don't know how many weeks ago it was technically on air, but I watched it this past weekend. It was whatever they're calling ACH now. Jordan Miles.
Jordan Miles. The Jordan finals Miles. Of the breakout tournament.
Yeah, versus the dude from Impact that's from North Carolina. What's his name?
Trevor Lee?
Trevor
we don't know but Cameron now, Grimes.
Cameron Grimes, yeah.
Oh, fuck.
Yeah, I don't
Cameron
know.
Cameron Grimes.
That match was fucking good, too, yeah. Man. Holy shit.
Last week's NXT segment where he cashes in his – he announces that he's going to cash in his title match on Adam Cole. That segment, if you haven't seen it, it's short, it's sweet, and it encapsulates the human being ACH. In the, oh, it's all
– or Jordan Miles. Right, right.
Yeah. Oh, man, Albert Hardy Jr. Whatever.
Yeah, whatever.
That guy. You will love that. You'll instantly fall in love again with him.
Robert says, I really enjoyed that 5-on-5 thing. Definitely my match of the week. Okay. Put this over when you talk about UK. Oh,
we'll get there.
Okay.
On the pond, since Hector's in typical XWR fashion, wants to bust nut early.
Yeah.
I binged like 2 weeks of NXT UK last weekend so I can be somewhat caught up and aware of what's going on. Ilya Dragunov, the guy with the red contacts, short little dude from Mother Russia, against Cassius Ohno.
Yeah.
Holy fuck, that was a good match.
Was it?
Ohno broke the undefeated streak. He's the first guy to beat him. But he he earned that win. Like, Ono's looking at this guy like, oh, shit. This guy.
Yeah.
Like, it was good. It was a really good match. That's another one that I would suggest watching. And, of course, Ricochet against McIntyre. Damn, Ricochet is such a pinball match. Like,
that was
really McIntyre's a great bumper for little guys like Ricochet and AJ and Ray to bounce off of and Cedric.
Because he's not, like, slow and
he's agile enough to keep up.
Yeah.
That was fucking good, man.
There's a lot of good little surprise matches the last couple of weeks. Yeah.
Yeah.
I mean,
Murphy Ali, like I said earlier, was a good match too, but
I mean, is there anything that you want to just like put your stamp on and say, hey, this is the match of the last, I don't know, 2-3 weeks that we've been on air?
I think I'm leaning towards the 5-on-5, which is usually the exception to the rule because I don't like long matches. But it didn't feel long because, again, people are getting eliminated. So it's part process of elimination. So you're kind of watching like 8 or 9 matches. They splice in between the long match backstage vignettes to get you set up with other rivalries that are going on NXT in case you've been living under a rock for the past 6 months.
Picture-in-picture thing.
And so you'll be like, oh, so this is happening next week. Dude, and then I think the reason that this is putting it over the top, there have been video clips that NXT has posted of Mauro Ranallo. The camera's like right on the desk, and you see him react to it.
Be
all animated. What Corey Graves was 5 years ago, Nigel McGuinness is right fucking now.
Ooh!
And I hope they don't get his hands on him and water his ass down. Because he was like, what the hell? Like, you could see him, like, in the corner of the screen get up and be animated and jump. Like, oh, and hearing him on commentary doing some of the jokes.
Yeah.
You know, and Aiden English bouncing off of him, which Aiden English is coming in on his own, even though you know for a fact I'm sick of three-man booths. Right now, true. I think after last week where Vic Joseph subbed in for
he
Corey.
He did really well.
And kudos to Michael Cole for giving him the space to do it. Because two colors, you can step on each other's feet. And Michael Cole like knew when to step back and let Vic Joseph run.
Yeah. And well, it was two play-by-play.
Yeah, two play-by-play. That's what I meant. Two play-by-plays. And freaking Renee, like it felt organic. Not that Corey doesn't, but
I mean, I'm sure this is what it was. But it felt like to me like it was a tryout for Vic. And he fucking nailed it.
Yeah.
Like, and
it's
Cole's
time
really
to
good.
Go. Like, in the next 4 or 5 years, Vic's going to slide right in.
Yeah. I liked his performance on Monday, and I really enjoy his work at, like, all the other little shit that he does, like 205 and whatever else he's on. But I like him way more than I like
Todd Phillips?
Saxon and Phillips. Both of them. I like way more than them.
Like Cole and Taz had a chemistry that I don't think Taz and Tanae never had. There's certain pieces. Like I always had the envision of like Raw being the elder statesman and SmackDown being the youth. So okay. Like Todd Phillips, Corey Graves, and either Byron Saxton or Mr. Jennifer Hudson. Those
David Otunga.
Those three guys or mix of four guys as the youth for SmackDown, they fit. But if Cole's stepping away, dude, I would have and part B, if they do kill 205 to merge it with NXT, dude, give me Vic Joseph, Nigel McGuinness, and Renee Young.
I'm okay do with it. This. Yeah, I think the way that that Vic was handling the traffic was really good. And he was allowed to actually do it. Like, he was taking the cues, throwing it to commercial, coming back, hey, we're back, and da-da-da-da-da. Like, he was hitting all of it at the right exact point in time for, like, the posts and stuff like that, which was really terrific. Which even now, so many years later, Cole sometimes misses the post, and fuck. fucking what's,
off the rails.
Graves. He always misses the posts when it comes to the ring announcer announcing. He always starts like a sentence of like color, and then the ring announcer. I was like, oh fuck, I gotta lay out, you know. And he like every single time. And Corey's really bad at it, but like I forgive him for all the other stuff because he's really good at everything else. Yeah. He's naturally good at it, but Cole sometimes too. He fucking missed the posts, but Vic. So far, small sample size. So far,
small.
He's
samples,
really good at it.
Small sample size to the naked eye. I still think right now, as much as I have a hard on for Mauro, my favorite combination because of my stipulation is NXT UK because it's just Vic Joseph and Nigel McGuinness. It's just those two.
Yeah.
205 Live in the beginning, it was just Vic and Nigel.
Yeah.
Eventually, they squeezed in Aiden English.
Yeah.
But dude, Vic's. Vic's been doing this for a while, and I think I'm not sure. I think he does main event or superstars overseas for the taping. I'm not sure if anybody in the chat can fill that blank in, but I think he's around the block. Mm-hmm. But we don't see him as often, so I'm not as tired of him as 6 years of Corey Graves with five different announcers on NXT, right. And then him on the main roster, two different shows, you know. So, but man, I was pleasantly surprised with Vic. That's my pick, the 5-on-5.
Okay, cool. I think my pick will have to be ACH versus Trevor Lee. Okay. Or whatever they're calling these guys.
Jordan Miles versus Cameron Grimes.
Cameron Grimes.
Okay.
Grimes.
Yeah, we'll allow it.
Yeah.
Did you know there's three shows happening this Saturday?
Three. I knew that there was at least two. All right, hit me with it.
Let's start with number one.
All right.
New Japan Pro Wrestling, Royal Quest.
That's the one I didn't know
at
about.
At the Gopa Box Arena. All right. I'm going to just run down a couple of matches real quick. Kota Ibushi and Juice Robinson are teaming up against Hikuleo and Yujiro Takahashi from Bullet Club. Gorillas of Destiny are fighting a mystery team for the tag titles. Tanahashi against Zack Sabre Jr. for the Rev Pro British Heavyweight Championship.
Say that again? Tanahashi versus Zack Sabre Jr.?
Yeah.
Ooh. That's interesting.
Tomohiro Ishii.
Uh-huh.
Give me an anticipation level for this. Tomohiro Ishii.
Versus?
Kenta.
Ooh.
I think this is the first time ever they're wrestling each other.
I'm at an 8. In tournament. That could be really good or really not good.
Really ugly. I'm not saying bad. It's either going to be really clean or really ugly, but I'm still like...
Because I've seen... Like, I like what I'm seeing out of Kenta, but he's also, like, it's almost like he's not at the same speed as everyone else. And either he's trying to, like, go too fast or he's going too slow and can't get out. Like, there's something wrong with his transmission. Like it's not getting into the right gear at the right time. Yeah. It's not like sometimes you'll use this analogy where saying, oh, he doesn't have the extra gear to go into. No, he has that extra gear. He's just not getting into it on time. And like, things are slipping for him, you know? Mm. Yeah. But then you take that with somebody like Ishii, who doesn't have that fifth or sixth gear. But God damn, he's a fucking tractor trailer. You know, how's that going to work? You know, or is he going to try to, like, zoom, go in there and try to do something and then fuck up. And then it has to get slowed down because that's a yeast style and he's just going to knock the fuck out of you. So can it be ugly and not in a good way ugly? Or can it be like, ooh, this is ugly in a good way? Because that's how Ishii usually is. Yeah. Ishii's matches are ugly in a good way. You know, that's how Ishii versus
everybody. Well, Omega,
the one that we did as a match of the year,
Shingo Takagi.
Takagi,
I had to sing my neck because I was going around.
Shingo versus Ishii. You know, like that's ugly, but ugly in a good way. You know, so yeah,
I'm at about an 8 for it also. And this isn't a slight towards Kenta when I say this. It feels like he's finding himself.
Yeah.
But he's doing it on the camera. So we're watching the evolution, and some of it's a little painful, some of it's glorious.
Yeah.
But you don't know what stage he's in the evolution until I think by Wrestle Kingdom we're gonna get the Kenta that we've all wanted.
Yeah.
And that he's missed for quite some time. But the fact that we're watching his evolution every other week.
Yeah,
you know, it's a little jarring.
I'm going to throw a food analogy at you with the way I feel about Kenta. Because I don't want to feel like I'm talking shit about him, because I'm not. But
you've known to eat shit.
Yeah. What you said is like, this is really what, you know, what's going on with him. He's trying to find himself, which is great. But I think it's like you have something like a broth or something like that. And you water it down because you need more volume. And that's what happens when you take Nakamura, Kenta, you know, whoever that comes from Japan or whatever. You put them in WWE, you water them down, right? Because you can't have all that concentrated good flavor because you got to make it for the masses. So you got to thin it out a little bit so that there's more volume. So you put a bunch of water in the broth. So now there's more broth, but it's not as flavorful, right? Now that he's gone back, now you got to take that watered down broth and make it flavorful again to what it was before. And I don't know if you could ever really get there. Yeah, sure, you could boil the shit out of it and
add some vegetables.
Hope that it evaporates, but you got to try to add some other flavoring back in there. And that's kind of what's going on with Kenta, because he had this style that was really fucking great, but it's really demanding on your body. And then he went to this style NXT where it's not quite as demanding on his body, and he's watered down. But, you know, I mean, that's just what you got to do. But now that you're not there and you're going back to your old stomping grounds, you think you're that guy that you were 10 years ago. And it's like, ooh, I can't move that part of my hip the same way. You know, you're never going to get back to that youthfulness in your own body. And I think that's what he's trying to find. He's trying to find how he can be as high energy and as thrilling as he once was, but work around the age that he didn't realize he aged because he's been taking it easy for the last, you know, 5, 10 years, whatever. Well, maybe not 10 years, 5 years. How long was he in NXT?
About 4 years.
4 years? Okay.
Main event for the world title. Okada Kazuchika defends against Minoru Suzuki.
Ooh, Suzuki was all pissed off too, right? Because he wasn't in the
no climax for you, son.
And we kept guessing that he was going to somehow wiggle his way into the thing, but nah, New Japan doesn't do that shit.
Nope.
So I imagine he's a hornet's nest waiting to kind of unload. I don't think he's going to win because I think he's going to be too mad to focus to actually win. But he's going to be so mad that he's going to just fucking lay into him and just tear his ass up. He's going to lose, but he's going to tear his ass up.
Emotionally. Number.
Oh, 9.
I'm also at about a 9. And I'm thinking the same thing. I've got Okada winning it. Okay. I've got Okada surviving it.
Yeah. Okada's going to weather the storm, keep his composure. He's going to find a way to win.
I see what you did there. Okada weathered the storm. You bastard.
Hector says this. What did you guys think about the Shibata profile I sent you?
So I thought it was a crazy idea that I just came up with one night only. Hector sends us in our message, in our Facebook Messenger, a picture of the updated profile for Katsuyori Shibata. And they do mention the fact that he got trounced by Kenta during the end of the G1. And that it's possible that he might come back to the action. So
I'm so hesitant about Shibata comes back. I mean,
we got more than 4 months.
Yeah. I mean, I'm not a doctor, so, you know, but I'm like, I'm sure you can. I mean, I don't know. We spent the last episode talking about this quite a bit, and I was like, well, shit, if the doctor can say it, who am I to say that he can't? You know, right. I mean, look at Brian, you know, coming back from all of his injuries. But I think that we said the same thing about
Edge.
Edge. It's like, oh, shit, Edge is coming back. Oh, I don't know. But then again, I'm not a doctor. So, you know, we'll see.
At about the same time in London, I mean, not London, in the UK, NXT.
Cardiff, Wales.
A couple of highlights here. I'll start off with the spoiler McGee here. Again, Hector busting his nut early. A couple of months ago, Cassius Ohno, I don't know if it was in NXT or NXT UK, he was in a match at a house show.
Okay.
And after the match, he was, I think it was against somebody from Gallus. And he got jumped after the match. And of all people, Cesaro came and made the save.
No.
The reuniting of a certain team from Ring of Honor.
Yeah.
Yeah.
The Kings of Wrestling.
Mm.
No. You're supposed to do the
upper. Oh.
Come here. They do it like this.
You just wanted to touch me.
Well, yeah.
Or get blood on me. So.
Seriously, what do you have? Fucking
Almighty, leprosy? Almighty Hector, among other things. Almighty Hector. I'm not HIV, though. Oh, Hector tells us that there's a possibility that there might be a surprise tag match with involving the reuniting of the Kings of Wrestling.
Nice. Well, that's not really that much of a surprise, though, is it?
Nope. Thank you, Hector.
But no, that's cool. I mean, I really like Cesaro, Cassius Ohno. Hey, I mean, lost a little bit of luster on me, but whatever. I mean, cool. Let's see what he can do.
Joe Coffey. The biggest member from Gallus.
Okay.
From the Coffey Brothers.
Oops. Didn't mean to ding there.
Against Baby Vader. Dave Mastiff.
All right.
The Bomber.
Yeah.
Last man standing. Anticipation level.
For
one of your least favorite matches.
5. I don't really know too much about Coffey. I don't really know too much about Mastiff. I haven't really been watching that much of NXT UK. When I do watch it, it's like appointment viewing. Like when you curate stuff for me, it's like, hey, watch this. And I haven't come across much of either one of those guys personally. I know that you've talked about them on the show before. And I'm like, okay, cool. I mean, I'm open-minded to them. But on paper, nothing tickles my pickle there because I'm kind of irrelevant to those guys. And then you add on the fact that it's last man standing. Ugh! Fuck last man standing. So 5.
I'm at an 8. I just want to see them go at it, dude, without the restriction of rules, you know?
Okay.
I'm not sure if I'm ready to see Mastiff lose, even if he's lost before. I haven't seen it. I don't know if I'm ready to see Mastiff lose. But I think at a no DQ, I would see people from Gallus coming in and fucking it up.
Okay.
So I've got Joe Coffey winning.
Are they the Gallus Cowboys?
The main event. Volta against Tyler Bate for the WWE United Kingdom Championship.
Poor Tyler Bate. That dude's just going to get railroaded.
He doesn't have a better chance than Pete Dunne of surviving.
No, he doesn't. Walter. He doesn't. No.
No?
I don't think so. 8? I mean, I would be higher because I really like Tyler Bate and I really like Walter. I would be higher if it wasn't for the fact that I don't think Tyler Bate is credible against him. No. I mean, this is kind of like, oh, man, we really fucking like Ziggler. Well, not now, but let's say Ziggler 5 years ago. Man, I really like Ziggler, but he's going up against Lesnar from last year. Like, Ziggler's not being Lesnar. Like, no. You know, so.
I'm at about an 8. I mean, you are talking about the first United Kingdom champ in Tyler Bate. He has to be somewhat credible to be stepping in against Walter. Tyler Bate's been in Match of the Year candidate before. From what I've seen so far of Walter, I like what he does. God, the promo of Walter in his training school, in his wrestling school, and beating up all those poor skinny little kids, calling him Tyler Bate. Tell me you're Tyler Bate. I'm Tyler Bate. Ah, holy fuck, dude. They're packing it in on the story, man. So yeah. I'm digging me Walter and Tyler. I need to watch the go home before the Saturday because that's one of the two matches that I'm looking forward to, possibly three. There's some other stuff going on, but again, there's a lot going on Saturday. I have the Saturday off, assuming I was going to make the effort to watch everything. And like in this last couple of days prepping for this episode, I'm already tired. So I'm going to wake up early on the Saturday off, and I'm not going to volunteer to help another branch. I'm going to probably drive the Shiner and go drink some beer. okay. But we're all here for AEW.
Okay.
All Out this Saturday.
This Saturday.
Since we talked about it earlier, go ahead and give us your talk about Pac and Omega and Moxley.
So I think the match between Omega and Pac is going to be a better match in-ring-wise than what we would have got out of Moxley and Omega. Okay? Now, that's saying that I think that Moxley-Omega, the match itself, not my anticipation, though, the match itself probably would have been an 8.5 out of 10, whereas I think Pac versus Omega could put on a 10 out of 10 match. Okay? But the story is way more interesting with what the fuck is going on with Moxley if Moxley didn't have this this MRSA, right? Oh, Moxley's the guy that came out and this and that. He's showing up in AEW. He defected. He pretty much just said, no, I want to leave WWE to come to AEW. And now he's reinvented himself. And we've seen him in matches before, but this is against the fucking guy. The main guy of AEW. Holy shit. You know, like this is significant. So significant. So there's kind of that balance there. So we're losing a match that would have had 6 historical significance in AEW history. We're losing that, but gaining a match that might be better in ring wise technically. So I would have given Moxley versus Kenny a 9 out of 10 anticipation level. I'm going to give Pac versus Omega a 9 out of 10 on my anticipation level.
For other reasons. But
for different reasons. Yeah, so the balance sheet still says 9 at the end of the day. It's just, well, what is it here versus here? And you're like, you just tip the scale a little that way.
Total you just turn the scale around.
Total still adds up to 9.
I'm going to go one further because Randy asked you why you're hating on Jon Moxley.
I'm not hating on Moxley.
I'm going to go one step further. I might even piss off Randy.
Oh, shit.
The timing of this injury couldn't have been better.
Wow. Okay. Why?
If AEW's goal is to attract casual viewers by hooking them with story rather than action,
okay,
you air Moxley versus Omega on a Wednesday on TNT, where more people will be watching, presumably, than people watching All Out. So I would save the story for TNT, the channel that has all the drama, and I would put Pac versus Omega as the co-main event, possibly. Well, the title match is going to be the main event because it's first champ ever. But I would have Pac and Omega
main event
All Out.
All Out.
And I would have Mox. Dude, that would, man, you tell me that like the first show of January, we're going to have AEW on Wednesday in New York City, in Madison Square Garden, main eventing Omega versus Moxley. That shit's going to sell out faster than any WWE show that's happened this year. Which, by the way, WWE has not sold out either one of their Madison Square Garden shows. They're not even halfway towards selling out Madison Square Garden shows. And to WWE's credit, fucking CMLL had to move it to the theater in the building next door because the ticket sales weren't doing too good either. But AEW has the momentum right now that they could probably sell out MSG if they headline it with Moxley versus Omega ahead of time.
Okay.
Yeah, I think I was gonna say about an 8 for Moxley versus Omega because there's a story that's not the story. Double or Nothing, the story were the Rhodes brothers.
Okay.
Because that had decades a story behind it.
Okay.
This story, you just finished the like intro and you're like barely in chapter 1. You got plenty of time to fill that book. So I would say right now the biggest story is the crowning of the new champion. So I've got I would give about an 8 to Moxley versus Omega.
But that's not what's happening.
Yeah, that's not what's happening.
Versus Omega.
I think in a show like All Out, Omega would want to rev at 8,000 RPMs. He'd want to idle at 8,000. He can do that with Pac. Pac is a different level as far as endurance. I mean, just watch that WrestleMania match against Austin Aries.
Yeah.
That motherfucker can go. As we put him against Omega, that's 25 minutes well spent easily. Yeah. So I'm at a 10.
A 10? Moxley.
You watered my mouth with the match that didn't happen because of the Dragon Gate stuff.
Okay.
So I was already like a 9 for that. And that was a tag match. Now you're telling me one-on-one Pac against Omega? And here's why I'm at a 10.
10.
Here's why I'm at a 10.
10.
Shima versus Omega at Fight for the Fallen.
Yeah.
Shima's a much smaller guy than Omega.
Yeah.
And Omega made Shima look like he can rule a fucking world. Pac is another guy that's a lot smaller than Omega. And Omega's making these guys look like they need to be paid millions of dollars and be in the big leagues. Right now, you're not there yet. Let's admit it. Omega can make Pac look like a fucking megastar in this match. And the fact that I've seen him do it before with other guys that are smaller than him, yeah, I'm at a 10 for this.
Okay.
I obviously have Omega winning. I wouldn't be mad if Pac won.
Gotcha.
it sucks that the whole Mercer thing happened. I doubt that Moxley can show up to like cause any kind of interference or just have him on stage and distract him. Something to keep the story going. But if he can't make it, that's completely understandable. But I'm at a fucking 10 for Omega and Pac.
All right. Hector says this. What do you guys think about the promo work on Omega with regards to Moxley? There was a promo? I didn't catch it.
Fucking loved it, dude.
It's on Being the Elite.
Moxley was so caught up in living the fantasy dream and checking off all the dream match boxes instead of focusing on the biggest threat, which was Omega at All Out. And now he got hurt. You have no one to blame but yourself. You're ducking me because you're too busy trying to live out your other stuff instead of focusing on me. I'm the big deal. You're the one that came to AEW because you didn't want to be in WWE. I'm the big deal. And now you can't fight me. It's your fault. You're ducking me. I fucking love that promo. It was really good. It was really good.
Yeah, all you got to do is just slap a little Z-Pack on it. That's all you had to do. All right. If Hangman wins, I have Pac attacking him. That's what Hector says.
Aesthetically, I'm not sure if I want to see Hangman versus Pac.
Aesthetically.
Okay. Page, he's a great wrestler. I like him a lot.
He's all right.
But his style's going to clash with Pac. He's not that fast. He's not that agile. He's more of a brawler, ground and pound. Pac is a high flyer. He's a pinball.
Yeah.
But Page is not much of a pinball bumper. He's something else.
Okay.
It's hard to classify.
Okay.
But if we're talking about Adam Page against Chris Jericho main eventing for the inaugural championship. Another one.
Oh, 10.
We always talk when we talk about match of the years, we always bring up historical significance. This is your first champion.
Yeah.
Ever in AEW. We don't have a women's champ, we don't have tag champs, we don't have anything else. This is the first belt you're gonna christen. It doesn't matter if it's two mops in the ring. It's a 10 because it's because of the significance.
Oh,
I've got – it's easier. It's so the booking is so ready-made for a heel to have that belt and run with it. I've got Jericho winning. I wouldn't be mad if Paige won, but a lot of people – you're going to go into a brand new weekly show on a channel that's been established for wrestling 20 years ago with a guy that nobody knows. No disrespect. Again, I've already praised that. I've already praised
Hangman.
You put that belt on Jericho, and he comes out in the first 5 minutes reminding you of who the fuck he is and where he's been and what he's done since he left TNT. Done. It's Jericho. You build up new guys. Give me Jericho versus Jungle Boy week 3 and have Jungle Boy put on a hell of a fight. You know, give me Jericho against MJF in November and make MJF the next Jericho. Yeah. Down the road, you know, give me Jericho against fucking Jordan Grace. I don't care. Make it work. They'll make it work.
Yeah.
You know, and you're putting over these guys. Jericho has the potential to be early Jeff Jarrett in Impact, where he was making the faces look like they belonged in that picture. He made AJ look like he belonged there. He let make Joe look like he belonged there. He made Christian Cage look like he belonged there.
Yeah.
He made Angle look like he still had a lot more gas in the tank. Dude, Jericho right now can't be that guy. I easily put it on Jericho. If I'm running the book, I'm giving it to Jericho for at least a year. I'd have him lose it next year at All Out in Soldier Field in Chicago.
Holy shit.
That confident.
Wow.
If I got Khan's checkbook, I'm going balls out, man. Fuck it.
Okay.
You mean to tell me I'm calling this competition and you're going to feed me NXT? Nah, player. Next year, Soldier Field, I'm going to make sure that Raw and SmackDown notice me.
Wow.
Yeah, so I've got Jericho all the way.
Wow. Okay.
Give him a number and give him a pick.
My number is 7.
Okay. Lucky 7.
My pick is Hangman.
Ooh.
Yeah.
I don't hear this.
Yeah.
No.
All right. So you said you threw a phrase in there that you said this is the reason why you're at a 10 is historical significance. You know, if you put a mop versus a mop, it'd still be a 10 because it's a fur rah, right? Mm-hmm. Well, for me, I'm a little bit more realistic. Right. If this was a mop versus a mop, I would give it a 7 for historical significance. Right now, I'm at Jericho versus Hangman, and I'm still at a 7. And here's why. I don't really care.
You're getting out of frame. You need to slide over.
Sorry. I don't really care.
Give him all of you.
I don't really care for Hangman all that much. I get it that he's, you know, part of the Elite. He runs with them. He's going to be the Elite. And a lot of, you know, people like him. But he was always been kind of the...
He's the stepchild.
He was like the fucking... fifth, sixth in command as far as the hierarchy goes of fucking, you know, the Elite and Bullet Club and all that. Like, it was like Kenny, the Bucks, Cody, then Marty Scurll, then the Chucky T guy.
Gorillas of Destiny.
Yeah, Gorillas of Destiny, a few other people, and then Hangman.
Folly!
Yeah, and Hangman. Oh, and Bone Soldier somewhere in there. Like, he's right around there in the same vein as Bone Soldier. I've never...
Cody Hall.
Yeah, I never really cared too much for him, to be honest. Okay. And I'm not saying that I don't like him or I hate him, this and that. It's just I've been kind of very meh. And during this AEW run where they've been giving him a whole lot, I'm like, okay, cool. I'm open-minded. I'll see if I like him and see what I want to see. And it just kind of give him a shot. But so far, with those shots, they've been inconclusive. You know, it's been like, okay, a 6-yard slant down the middle. All right, cool. That didn't get you a first down, but it's progression. Okay. Damn it, I want to see a Hail Mary touchdown pass. If you're telling me this is the guy, let me see him do a fucking 80-yard run from scrimmage. Let me see something that's going to make me go, wow, this is the fucking guy. But right now I'm like, okay, he's decent. He's serviceable. I'm like, that's it.
So why are you picking him to win?
Here's why I'm picking him to win.
I know the chat room was about to ask me that.
The reason why I'm picking him to win is because this is how I feel about him. Not necessarily how AEW feels about him. And I think there's a disconnect there, at least with myself. I think other people feel the same as I do. I'll read this chat here in a little bit.
Fucking Robert Medved. Hangman Page is the Hawkeye of the Avengers.
Yeah!
I was going to say Black Widow.
Yeah.
Because he does have those bitch tits going.
So anyways, okay, fine. You can have a mop versus a mop. Okay. Well, who's the other mop? Jericho.
It's Hangman, not Barry Sanders.
It's Jericho. All right. I don't want to see Jericho to be the guy to be the flag bearer for AEW. And I don't think that they're going to make him the flag bearer for AEW. I think he's going to be more like Ric Flair later in his WWE career. Not like Ric Flair where he was winning championships and like we're talking like after fucking Evolution. Like WrestleMania 23 time. You know, his run from like 22 until 24 was, I shouldn't be wrestling, but I'm still wrestling because I'm Ric Flair, woo, and somebody's going to put me out the pasture, and eventually it was HBK. He was putting people over, but he wasn't like really winning everything and then this and that. Now, Jericho's not quite there yet, but I also think that if you look at the rest of the roster of AEW, AEW's not trying to sell you nostalgia. AEW's trying to sell you youth, different, new, amazing new fucking moves, and look at how fast our guys go, and look at all the amazing stuff they do. This is different than the other guys. Jericho, if you put it on Jericho, then it's going to be like, hey, we're just like the other guys because, look, we got one of their former dudes as a champ. Come watch us. Like, no, that's not the tone that AEW wants to, at least I think, nor should they set. The tone is we're different. In the wrestling business, you got to be one of two different things. You got to be either better or you got to be different. And if they put it on Jericho, that's their attempt to say we're better, when I don't know if they are, because you could be comparing apples to oranges. Instead, you say WWE are apples, we're motherfucking oranges. So you put it on the guy that's not the other dude. So that's why I'm at a 7. I don't really know if I care too much for who will wind up being it, other than the fact of historical significance. I want Hangman to wow me. He hasn't wowed me yet.
Okay. Interesting. Yeah. I like that take. I didn't think about it that way.
Yep.
You're still wrong. I appreciate the effort. You have to greet up to get to that punchline on the bottom. Fuck.
Jericho is an infomercial guy selling the mop, and he actually makes you want the mop. And before you know it, your credit card is in your hand, and you're calling a 1-800 number.
Tim Daniel Price says, something tells me Randy bought a whole lot of ShamWows on credit.
That's ShamWow, dude.
Sucks up all the cum, right?
Yeah, he has a... That ShamWow guy got a reputation for a reason.
Escalera de la Muerte. The Young Bucks against the Lucha Bros. Ladder match for the AAA Tag Team Championships. Welcome to the fucking party.
Oh my god. Yes. Pew. Yes. Lucha Bros, I fucking love. Young Bucks, I fucking love.
Oh my god.
Now, granted, this isn't an AEW title, but it's been the title that they've been bouncing back and forth. It's kind of on loan from AAA. Mm-hmm. All right, fine. And oof, this is going to be great. And I think this ladder match is going to be way better than the fucking ROH ladder war shit that we just watched. They're going to know how to actually do it, and it's going to be fun. So fun. Fun, 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 fun. Yes, I'm in a 10. Please give me more. I will have seconds, thirds, Thanksgiving dinner, that shit. Have a fourth.
I'm at a 9.5.
Okay.
You tell me that the Lucha Bros know how to do a ladder match. You remember that clip I sent you with the Impact pay-per-view where Phoenix landed on his fucking head during that Spanish fly off the ladder onto the table?
Uh-huh.
Phoenix might have injured himself in a house show last weekend. It was rumored that he might have also been out from All Out, but there hasn't been any reports confirming that. So as of now, the match is still going on. You say that these guys know what they're doing. Some of the matches that both the Young Bucks and the Lucha Bros are known for, they throw caution to the wind a lot. Okay. And it takes one bump or one spot to end up looking like Jay Briscoe. So I'm at a 9.5, but that doesn't mean – I think I'm at a 9.5 because, unlike you, I've watched Triple Mania. I've watched the episode of AAA where the Young Bucks beat the Lucha Bros for the belts. I've been watching Young Bucks versus Lucha Bros and fucking and for the last like year, keeping up with AEW, you know, Double or Nothing, the Fighter Fest, the six-man tag, the Elite against Lucha Bros and Laredo Kid, I think it was. So I'm not having fatigue, but it's at a 9.5 because I want them to show me something that they haven't shown me yet in the 6 or 7 times I've seen them against each other already.
Okay.
There needs to be not so much like something special, but there has to be something defining. you know, for it to be over. Because I think this needs to be over.
Okay.
And I think if they give this match to us at the AAA show and the theater in Madison Square Garden, I think that's going to be overkill. Like, I think I want this to be the end of the feud between Young Bucks and Lucha Brothers.
Who do you got winning?
Oh, man. AAA titles? If Lucha... here's a thought. I've got the Young Bucks winning this. It seems like the new LAX, Ortiz and Santana, they're out of Impact. So if they go to AAA, Young Bucks against LAX for those tag titles, I'm in.
Okay.
That's a new rivalry for the Young Bucks to keep it fresh. Give the Lucha Brothers something to do.
Because
Phoenix is Mega Champion and Omega challenged Phoenix. So they can end this rivalry and they can separate and do their own shit.
Oh, okay.
Penta and Phoenix, they can do their own shit.
Well, I think, aside from that, the very, very last part about the Mega Champion thing, I think it makes sense to go the other route. And I'm going to agree with Daniel Price here in the live chat. He says, Lucha Brothers, the Bucks don't need it unless they're going to give AAA some promotion on a weekly basis. Now, let them end this feud by having the Lucha Brothers win, take the title back to AAA, and then let the Bucks do their own thing on AEW. And, like, that's it.
Tangent, because we just went off this AAA borrowing stuff.
Yeah.
Would wrestling fans, for example, people in chat room, will wrestling fans have the same vitriol for Cain Velasquez if he, through Let's Play with Each Other's Toys, if Cain Velasquez shows up on AEW, the same way people hate Brock Lesnar right now?
No. No, I don't think so. I think that Cain Velasquez showing up at AAA, at Triple Mania, people weren't like, oh, fuck this guy. They were like, okay, we'll see. Oh, wow, he's actually trying to pay homage to what it's supposed to be, and he's not just some lumbering oaf who, you know, like he's
not an MMA fighter dressed as an MMA fighter in a wrestling ring.
Right, yeah, he's a guy who's an MMA fighter who's really actually trying to be a luchador.
Yeah.
Oh, okay, that's a little respectable. I'm intrigued. You have my attention. Show me more.
Okay.
And I think as long as he stays true to that and he doesn't become Brock Lesnar.
Because you made the comment earlier, AEW doesn't want to. You could either be different or better. And if you, and for some, the people that like to point the negative, if they were to have Cain Velasquez on their roster on their weekly show, they would talk. They would hold that against AEW that they're trying to copy.
Yeah,
WWE.
Mm-hmm.
If it was Cain in shorts, in gloves,
bam.
But if it's Cain with
like mariachi trumpets,
yeah. But Kane, Mexican luchador, Mexican flag, Huracanranas, drop kicks, tope suicidas, you know, living up to the lucha heritage. Hell, he could be like the Lucha Bros protege, kind of. imagine the fire and the fucking stiffness of the Lucha Bros being taught to a guy like Kane.
Yeah.
In his own wrestling mask, with his own wrestling luchador style move. Oh, man. I just want to throw that out there because, you know, they can't happen.
Because I think when Brock Lesnar came back for this last run, it was like, okay, well, you know, he came back from the UFC. He was a champ. Let's see if he still got it. And people gave him the benefit of the doubt. But then it was Kimura, 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 Kimura. Kimura, suplex, Kimura, F5. Kimura. Oh, God.
And then it was the raping of John Cena, and we're all like, clean the slate.
Yeah, and then we're like, okay, this is funny. Wow, he really beat the shit out of John Cena. And this was still like, well, LOL, Cena wins. Of course, Cena's going to beat him. You know, he can beat Triple H cleanly, like, a bunch of times in a row. Like, he won and lost, won and lost. But then, like, oh, my God, he actually beat John Cena. Not only did he beat John Cena, he decimated John Cena. And that was more shocking than how he did it, but how he did it was pretty shocking too. Suplex City. And at first it was amusing, and now it's just annoying because it's like, okay, each match you're going to see at least like 10 suplexes and then 3 F5s. And they're like, oh God, okay, let's beat the dead
Superman
horse.
Punch. Superman punch.
Yeah, so, yeah. I don't think Kane will do that.
Give me a number for Sean Spears against Cody.
8? Yeah, 8. I think the match itself will be pretty good. Sean Spears, Ty Dillinger, Person 10, whatever you want to call him.
The chairman.
The chairman. The match itself, see, they're both interesting because Cody and him both came from WWE, but they don't still have that WWE flavor 100%.
Or style.
But they're not 100% super indie style either. They're not the Bucks. They're somewhere kind of in between. And I think that they're giving them this different kind of paintbrush to use here at AEW. So maybe they could do shit that we didn't think that they would even be allowed to do in the WWE. So maybe here, oh man, this might be a little bit better. So I'm a little optimistic for it. Now, I mean, this would be different if it was Cody versus Shima. You know, or like, you know, Ty Dillinger versus one of the Bucks. Oh, fuck. Then they have somebody to play off against where the other guy will take the lead doing the fucking 8,000 RPM idols, right? But here it's like, okay, now both of them have to do it. All right, well, we'll see. But this could be interesting. I have high hopes for both of them. Storyline-wise.
What do you know about the story?
Quack.
Is that all you know?
That's pretty much all I know.
By default, the story that I want to see, the story that is getting the most attention is the inaugural championship, by default. Because, of course, that doesn't happen in all too often.
Yeah.
I'm at a 9.5 for this. On top of what you said, which I agree with, the story. Cody, okay. Sean Spears talking about how guys like Cody kept guys like Sean down when Cody's complaining that people kept him down.
Yeah.
You know, and how he needs legitimacy because you never know with Cody who's going to be around him. So he hires Tully Blanchard as his manager. So
okay,
Tully's doing a lot of the talking now, and Sean's just doing a lot of this.
Señor.
And so they did the match to where there can only be one person at each other's corner. Okay. Tully will be in Sean Spears' corner.
Uh-huh.
We still don't know who's going to be in Cody's corner.
Mm.
So on top of the match,
not going to be Brandy.
No, or the dog. So just story encapsulating with the physical aspect. That's a card where you need some buffer. And I don't mean buffer as in a match nobody cares about. Buffer for indie wrestling, you need a buffer as in styles. You're going to have a lot of indie wrestling. You're going to have a lot of pinball stuff. Like Double or Nothing. There was a lot of flippy dippies everywhere. But the standout was Cody versus Dustin because it was a traditional 70s wrestling match with color, with story, and at the end with tears.
Yeah.
This is that equivalent where it's a buffer to where you get bang, 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 bang. You need something to cleanse your palate, not something to ruin your palate. And that's what this match is going to be.
Okay.
And because of all that, I'm at a 9.5. And I've got Sean winning this.
It's the reason why people put salt on caramel.
What the
You can't just have all sugar the entire time. You got to put a little salt on there. Salt and caramel. That's why it's delicious.
Sure.
It's the buffer.
Who you got winning, buffer?
Cody.
Okay. I like that we're
although it would be super fucking interesting if Ty won. Holy shit. If he beat Cody, okay. Now, I don't think that's going to happen, but I think that'd be the more interesting thing. But I think Cody will win.
There's a six-man tag going on between SoCal and Censored against the Boy and His Dinosaur and another wrestler that I've never heard of, Marco Stunt.
I don't know who Marco Stunt is.
I haven't seen him either.
SoCal and Censored, yay. Boy and His Dinosaur, extra yay.
Yeah.
The other guy, okay. So, 7?
7.
Yeah.
They've already 7.5 built up with equity. Okay. Again, what's a bad SoCal match?
Yeah,
I'm enamored with the Boy and His Dinosaur.
Yeah, I fucking love Luke Perry's kid and his pet.
Yeah. triple threat between Joey Janela, Jimmy Havoc, and Darby Allin. I'm at an 8 for that.
Wait, repeat those people?
The three hardcore misfits. Joey Janela,
Jimmy Havoc, and Darby Allin.
I'm at an 8.5.
How many?
That's brutal.
Most of that is Darby Allin.
Yeah.
Darby is so interesting.
For all the flaws, well, all the setbacks that we gave Cody versus Dustin because it took the shine from Darby, the other side of the coin, it made me want more.
Yeah.
Which in hindsight is what wrestling is supposed to do, like any other kind of art form or literature. And so most of that is for Darby. I don't have him winning. I think I see maybe Jimmy Havoc. You know, if Darby Allin's already over, Joey Janela with his match with Moxley's over. We haven't had that moment with Jimmy Havoc yet. At least watching AEW, I haven't had that moment with Jimmy Havoc for me to care about him. So this is his moment.
Yeah, I need to care about him because out of those three, he's the one I care the least about. And I kind of feel like he's the dollar store version of guys like
which
Darby
sucks
Allin.
Because I've heard so many good things about Jimmy Havoc, but I've never seen it with my own two eyes, and right. I want this to be the moment for me to see what everyone else knows.
Like at this point, I'm like, who's that? Is that Jessica's little brother? Like that's all I really get. Robert has this question for us in the chat.
Oh shit! I just read it. Yeah,
odds of Tully turning on Sean and joins Cody.
No way.
No.
Because Cody's still undefined. Like, he wants to be a heel sometimes. He wants to be a face sometimes. He's a CEO, one of the 55 CEOs of that company at this point, you know, with like 8 holograms of Tony Khan because he's got that much money.
Right.
Right now, the ticket is a heel Sean Spears with Tully as the manager.
Okay.
I don't see. Dude, for Cody to have his head busted open and all of a sudden Tully joined Cody, that kind of doesn't make sense to me.
Okay.
Nah. But that was a good question.
Yeah.
Got me thinking. Bastard. I need more alcohol. Would have got me thinking. First round bye.
You got to kill all those brain cells.
Yeah. Not like Andrew Luck, though. So first round bye is on the line in the tag tournament.
Yeah.
Best friends, Chucky T, Trent Beretta against the Dark Order.
Who?
The Dark Order. The lights go out, and then the lights go on. There's like 10 or 12 little giblets. Like that.
Okay.
Which you could have easily just reached over there. Boogie, Oogie, Oogie. First round bye. What you got? I'm at a 7.
Six. I don't really care too much about the Boogie Oogies. And who are they fighting against?
Chucky T, Trent Beretta.
I really don't. I mean, I don't know. I like their gimmick. I just don't like them. Does that make sense? Like, I like the idea of the gimmick of two tag teams or two guys in a tag team who are like best friends and they like ham up the fact that they're friends. I've kind of seen that before in other indies, but okay, cool. But it's like
you saw that with Kane and Daniel Bryan, and they set the bar too high for you.
I don't dig Trent, and maybe it's because whenever he left WWE, he was kind of salty, and then he became the "Where's Trent?" like ironically, but like, "Oh, I left WWE. Where am I?" I'm like, "You're right there being a whiny bitch. Like that's where you are." And then like he turned his name into Trent with the question mark. Trent with a question mark? That's your name, really? Fuck off. You know, you and Ryder and fucking Kurt Hawkins, you can all go blow each other somewhere. I don't care about you. Chucky T, okay, whatever. He's just another guy.
That's very odd you say that. Because, first of all, a little nugget for you.
Yeah.
If you watch Trent Beretta single stuff in the WWF before he left, he had those question marks all over his tights already. So
yeah,
that's a gimmick
I know.
That he'd already had.
I know, but he like played it up more.
Your opinion of Trent Beretta is my opinion of Chucky T.
Oh.
Trent Beretta's been in Roppongi. He's been in other tag teams. He's done great stuff on his own. And then for him to be with Chucky T, a guy that looks like he needs 6 more months in the gym. Because Trent's like in awesome shape and Chucky T's like, don't leave me behind, bro. Like something about it aesthetically just is off for me for them to be the best of friends, you know?
Okay.
But shit, it could be like Gino and Hernandez and Adrian Adonis from back in the day. One of them's all like, look, and the other one's like, I got Dark Order winning.
Okay.
I know enough of the best friends, whether I like them or not.
And they're the Smash Brothers, right?
They used to be the Smash Brothers. Yeah, so I got the Dark Order winning.
Okay, I got Best Friends winning. Why not?
Hikaru Shida against Riho 1-on-1 women's match. I'm not give that much insight.
I still don't know who's who when it came to all the Joshi girls that showed up in AEW. But you just say, hey, we're going to have a Joshi girls match. I'm like, okay, so
anime tears.
Yes. Eyes get all big without any pupils. Yeah. 8.
Of course.
Because I want to see them. I don't know who they are.
I give it an 8 because if I turn the 8 sideways, it looks like a pair of boobs. Which shouldn't really count because they're Japanese. They don't have any. I got Riho winning.
Just okay, sure. Why not?
Awesome Kong's booked on this, but I'm not sure if she's in the pre-show. The pre-show, they're bringing back the Casino Battle Royal, which in theory I loved. The execution at Double or Nothing was kind of crappy, but at least, but just like the Royal Rumble, they did it at house shows first to work out the kinks before they actually aired it on the USA Network. So hopefully this one's better. 21 women separated in teams of 5 with the one exception. They separate them by cards. So one team of 5 is the hearts. One team of 5 is the clubs. One team of 5 is the spades. One team of 5 is the diamonds. And then at the very end, the Joker is the last woman that comes in. And at the end of all 4 groups, one at a time, well, two, and then one, well, one at a time, and then the last Joker, the last person that's in the ring wins. She becomes one of the number one contenders for the women's championship that they're going to be giving at one of these AEW shows. The women so far, Brandi Rhodes, Ali, Yuka Sakazaki, how sorry, Britt Baker, Nyla Rose, Jazz, Ivelisse, Teal Piper. I don't know what a Big Swole is, but Big Swole is in there. Sadie Gibbs, possibly Awesome Kong. That's 11. We still have 10 more to go.
Smiley Kylie's one on that list?
Not yet, but okay. Again, that she could be one of the surprises,
okay,
or obvious ones, because you already asked. Oh, I want Smiley Kylie. A lot of people want Smiley Kylie. I want Smiley Kylie. So yeah, she'll be in there.
Okay.
I'm pretty sure she'll be in
there. All right. I had a bit of an aneurysm when you were explaining the rules of that match.
Yeah.
So that
5 at a time. And then the Joker, the one, gotcha, comes out last.
Okay. So that means one of 2 things. Mm-hmm. Either this is going to be a fucking clusterfuck and they're never going to do this match again because the rules are just too fucking stupid. Or it's crazy enough, it's going to fucking work.
Either be better or be different.
Right? Yes, exactly. So the rules are going to be like, ugh. And just
eventually people understood King of the Mountain.
Ah, but in the beginning, you took the words out of my mouth. I was going to say this could be King of the Mountain.
Yeah.
This could be King of the Mountain, where King of the Mountain was fucking great.
Eventually.
But you had no idea what the hell was going on.
Penalty box.
What? Yeah. Or remember that 3 stages where, like, it was 3 different matches that TNA did, but there it was like a reverse battle royal. So there's like 20 people on the outside. Oh, you fought to get in. But 10 were in there. Then they started eliminating people to come out. And then when there was 2, it was a 1-on-1 match. Like, why? The rules were kind of stupid, but I kind of like the idea. They only did it the one time. I kind of like the idea, but the downside of it was that when there were 20 guys on the outside trying to get into the ring, you couldn't
see because they're on offense level.
Not even that, because you could reduce the amount. The problem was that there's only so much you could do to tease getting thrown into the ring or climbing into the ring. You just, are you going to get me down? Yeah. You know, like, that's it. But with a Battle Royal Rumble, you could get thrown over and hang. You could get thrown over and hit the apron. You could get thrown over and not go all the way over and, you know, rebound back. So it's like a different aesthetic. We're trying to get into the ring. You can only be stopped by, hey, don't go in there. And, like, that's it. So that was the only thing that didn't work. But, again, those rules are crazy enough that it's either going to be amazing or fucking stupid. So we'll see. I'm at 7.
The other match in the pre-show.
What was your number on that one?
I'm at 8.
Okay. Do you have any picks? Number one contender for women's title?
Britt Baker. Out of the names I've seen so far.
Baker. Unless you think Piper Nevin.
You mean Teal Piper?
Teal Piper Nevin. Yeah, Teal Piper. God damn
it. I'm going to throw a dark horse in there.
Okay.
So far, just out of the names I read, Ivelisse.
Why not?
Yeah. The other match in the pre-show that could possibly steal the weekend for me. Private Party. In a tag team match.
Person.
Angelico and Jack Evans.
I love me some Angelico and Jack Evans, man. Woo!
And Private Party won me over the last show. So I'm at about an 8.5.
Okay.
Yeah.
I'll be at a 7. Private Party, I'm all right on. And I really like Jack Evans, but what is this for? Just having a match.
Yeah.
That's it. I mean, okay, 7. Not too invested in it.
Okay.
Yeah.
Who you win?
Jack Evans and Helico need a win.
Yep. Got you. Overall, the whole shebang.
The whole McGillicuddy.
All out.
Very excited for it. 8. All over. All over. All around. I'm at an 8. 8 all over. About you. Overall. That's what I meant to say. Overall. Not all over. Overall.
All over and all out. I'm at a 9.5.
Wow. Okay.
Man, there's a lot of 10s in there. I think the first four matches were the three first three matches were 10s, and then we had a couple of 9.5s in there. So yeah, I'm at about a 9.5.
Okay, cool.
Yeah. And as of Wednesday, August 28th, 2019, I am not going.
As of right now.
As of right now. However,
oh fuck.
I asked for that Saturday off.
Oh fuck.
Because 4 months ago I wanted to go to the show and I was trying to get tickets, but I never got any.
Yeah.
There's still time.
We'll see. We'll see.
I still have a working liver. We'll end the show.
Well, you said that there was 3 shows this weekend.
Yeah.
You're wrong. There's 4.
Oh, but that's local. Is that on the telly?
No.
Is that on YouPorn?
No.
Is that on TikTok?
No.
Or Kikok?
No.
What's going on this weekend?
Well, this weekend is Wrestle Festival 5. Pride. That's what they call it. They just call it Pride. Wrestle Festival 5, Pride.
So rainbows everywhere?
I guess so.
All
right. Super Happy Funland is where it's going to be right here in Houston, Texas, right off of Polk Street. So
you point it like it's like down the street.
Yeah, it's like right here.
Nowhere near Polk Street.
So that way,
it's
actually.
Over yonder.
That way. Anyway, come on out. Wrestle Festival 5, we're going to have a main event. Captain Custody versus Party Boy, his former tag team partner.
Okay.
Yeah. Link Lancer's going to do something. I'm not sure exactly who he's wrestling yet, but, you know, you could see him in action. And then we'll have, some girl wrestlers, too. So check that
More out. Importantly, yeah, boy!
I'll be getting ring announcing, that kind of stuff. I'm getting back into the suit if I fit into it. If not, then I'm going to come up with a crazy costume.
Party City.
Yeah, why not? Because, oh, yeah, I meant to
get
dress
that tuxedo
like
t-shirt and some jeans.
Yeah, that'll work.
Tie your hair like a mullet. Business in the front, party in the back.
Yeah. Party in the front, business in the back. Hey! Papa!
Sponsored by Gillette.
Yeah. So come
the
on
best
out.
Best able can
if,
get.
If you're not watching NXT UK, if you're not watching New Japan, if you're not watching All Out, come out to the non-air conditioned Super Happy Funland.
Over under, 4 people pass out.
Yeah, over. I'll be one of them. No, seriously, Wrestle Festival is really fun. But yeah, I think we're gonna have a karaoke machine set up too. Wrestle Festival's weird, guys. It's not just like regular wrestling, it's like wrestling and they have music and there's like breaks in between, and like apparently we're gonna do karaoke and like it's comedy stuff. So if you're a fan of like Doomsday Wrestling, come check us out.
And it's also a flea market, right? Because there's vendors that used to sell stuff.
No, they had a food truck that's always had Super Happy Fun Land that sells like pizza and stuff. But yeah, come check it out. It's if you like wonky stuff, go check it out. It's wonky. And your boy will be there, so you can say hi to your boy.
Yeah. Don't forget to put over the show when you're in the ring, by the way.
I'll try.
Once or twice.
Yeah.
You know, we made a whole segment for them.
Yeah, we did.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Make sure they pay it forward.
Mm-hmm.
Anything else, my friend?
As far as I know, that's it.
Think the chat room's clean.
Yep.
Wrestle Festival. Clean.
Wrestle Festival. Yeah. Woo.
That's the show, bro.
All right. Adios, my friends. Keep it classy.